Amen. Thank you, Ryan Irby. Yeah, good morning again, everyone. It's great to have all of you out and all of you at home joining us as well. And I hope that you have a really, really great day today, the rest of the day. I made my first trip since COVID this week. I actually flew down to Atlanta for a leaders meeting down there. We had about 100 leaders from around North America join together for this leaders meeting, and it was a great trip. The fellowship was fantastic. It was good to meet with people I hadn't seen in almost 2 years and to renew our relationships with each other. And, you know, that's so much of what Christianity is all about, is relationships, building relationships, building a family together. And so that was great. I've known some of these people for almost 4 decades now. And so we've basically been shoulder to shoulder of trying to build the ministry together for a long, long time. And it was great to be together with all of them. It was a little weird because I'm not sure the South has heard about COVID. They're just... there weren't a lot of masks. People weren't wearing masks very often. And, also put that with a room full of disciples who haven't seen each other in 2 years and have known each other for almost 4 decades. And let me just say, there's plenty of opportunity for germs to be spread at that event. And just all over Atlanta, honestly. But it's great to be back with you. We had a great time, or I had a great time. Lee was here. And so I'm grateful for that. And today is Halloween. I'm not going to talk about Halloween, but we do have a number of children with us. Great to have children with us today. And I just wanted to say to all the children that are here, eat as much sugar as you possibly can. No, I didn't say that. I pulled it back. I pulled it back before I finished, okay? No, Halloween, it's all about blueberries and apples and oranges and bananas, and that's what it's all about, really. The Hershey Company did not start this, okay? It's about fruit. Eat a lot of fruit today. Halloween, actually, if you don't know, it means literally All Hallows Eve. And on the Orthodox Church calendar, there is a day tomorrow, November 1st. I know this is going to blow your mind, all of you, and you'll be thankful for these fun facts. But tomorrow is All Saints Day, which is considered to be, and like Catholicism and the Greek Orthodox Church and the Coptic Church, the holiest day of the year. Because you can connect directly with the saints on All Saints Day. And so if tomorrow is the holiest day of the year, then to counter that was created Halloween, All Hallows Eve, Halloween, the day before the holiest day of the year. That's fascinating, right? This is why you come to church, to learn things like this. But because it is... has been created as being this day of in which evil is unleashed. That's kind of what we have going on around us, you know. So I actually started to preach a sermon today on scary things in the Bible. But then I realized that we have a lot of children with us here, a lot of children watching at home, and I want parents to come back to church. So I veered away from that. But I came up with a list. So if you want my list of scary things in the Bible, I'll give it to you on the side, okay? but not as a lesson here. But however, I did want to talk about two passages out of the book of Revelation, which many people consider a very scary book, but it's not. For Christians, it's not a scary book. For Christians, actually, Revelation is an encouraging book. And I'll just admit this up front. I don't talk about Revelation very much. I don't preach and teach on Revelation very much because there's a lot of Revelation I don't understand. I just don't get. I just don't understand. It's highly symbolic. It's called apocalyptic literature, which means that it's highly symbolic literature. And there's symbols, especially in the middle chapters, that I just don't understand what those symbols mean. And I'm honestly not sure that it's meant for me to understand. It was written for a first century audience that was going under great persecution, and they knew what the symbols meant. But over these 2,000 years, I'm not sure that it all equates to where I'm living in life today. However, I will say this. I understand the main theme of Revelation, and I understand how Revelation works. It's like an orchestra playing a symphony. And in a symphony, you have the woods, the string section, you have the woodwinds, you have the brass, you have the percussion, you have all of them together. And it starts out maybe with one section, let's say the string section, just playing a little bit, and then the brass will come in, and then the woodwinds will come in, and then it'll crescendo. It'll get to a crescendo in which the percussion comes in and comes in loud, and everybody will be playing, and it just is very moving. And that's kind of how the book of Revelation works. Just a little here and a little there. And then by the very end, you see the crescendo is that there's a battle going on. It's a cosmic battle between good and evil. And so enter the evil, enter the good. And then the crescendo is Jesus wins. That's the crescendo. There is a battle going on, but for Christians, stick with Jesus. Because Jesus wins. And I want to look at Revelation chapter 1. We'll look at 1 through 8, and then we'll look at Revelation 21 in just a minute or two. This says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:1, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon occur. He demonstrated this by sending it by his angels to his servant John. His angel bore witness to all he saw, to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the person who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed is the person who hears and keeps what is in it, for the time is near. That's one reason I think that Revelation was written mainly for people in the first century to understand it, because it says the time is near. John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace and wholeness from him who is and who was and who is to come, and for the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion to the ends of the ages. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Yes, so be it. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the all-powerful. Now, I have 2 points to make right from this passage of Scripture here. The first point is trust in God and Jesus. Trust in God and Jesus. Verses 4 and 5 says, grace and wholeness from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, the past, the present, and the future, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth. The disciples at this time, the Christians, were undergoing severe persecution. Just for being Christians, Rome had it out for them. Caesar had it out for them. And many of them had their property confiscated. They were sent off to prison. They were separated from their families and separated from each other. And then many of them died. They actually paid the ultimate price. They died a martyr's death. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of a really troubling situation, the writer here says, trust God. Because God was and he is to come. He is the past, the present, and the future. And also trust Jesus, because Jesus is the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and he is the ruler of the kings of the earth, including Caesar and Rome. And this is the grand theme of the book of Revelation, is that Jesus wins. Trust in Jesus, because ultimately he's going to win. Things look difficult right now. And when we look around us, we might think the same thing. COVID has been hard. The social unrest because of racial injustice has been extremely difficult. The global situation has been hard. The assassination of the president of Haiti and things like that. And I know that we have many members in our fellowship that are Haitians, and to see so many Haitians just trying to get away and having no place to go. It's tragic, and it's heartrending, and it's heartbreaking. And for those of us that have been isolated from each other, that's extremely, extremely difficult. And I was talking to one minister on my trip, Chip Mitchell, who leads the church in Philadelphia. He said there was one family in his church that lost 12 family members to COVID. I mean, imagine that. Having 12 family members at basically the same time to COVID. It's been a very intense time for all of us. And I think all of us feel a little frayed at the edges because of that. But imagine in the first century, they're facing isolation. They're facing separation from families. They're facing death. But it's from persecution. It's because simply they have claimed the identity of Jesus. It's the only reason. And all they have to do is deny Jesus, and they're out of it. You know, we were waiting so long for a vaccine. Imagine if your vaccine to be free of all of this is deny Jesus. That's your vaccine. You don't want to have to face another intense separation or jail or ultimately martyrdom. Just, it'll free you. And that's what they were facing. And that's why John here, through the Holy Spirit and through the words of Jesus, says, trust God. He is the God of the past, where you are right now in the present, and your future. Trust Jesus. He's the faithful witness. See, that every disciple was expected once a year to give witness to the fact that Caesar is Lord of their life and burn a little incense for Caesar. And if they didn't do that, then they could be arrested. Well, John comes on and says, you know that you're supposed to make a witness and a testimony for Caesar, but you can't because Jesus is your Lord. But Jesus is a faithful witness who will stick with you. So don't burn that incense. Don't admit that Caesar is Lord of your life because he's not the Lord of your life. Instead, stick with Jesus. Also, he says he's the firstborn from among the dead. Many of them were facing death. And firstborn from among the dead means that the firstborn was the one who had authority. He has authority over death. So trust in Jesus. And that's what we need to do today as well. We need to trust in Jesus. Look to Jesus for our answers. You know, it has been a tough time. I remember at the beginning of the lockdown, I went out for a long walk in the neighborhood. And it was so weird because I didn't see anyone. I was the only one out. And I could walk down the middle of the street, and there were no cars, there were no people, there was just no one. And I personally like post-apocalyptic movies and post-apocalyptic books, and I like the eerie feeling that it gives me. And, you know, you might think that's weird for a preacher, but I'm also a teacher, and just consider it research, okay? I like to research those things. But that's a theme that I explore a lot, watching it, reading it. And I was out, I'd been walking for about an hour, didn't see a single person. And then about 100 yards from me, I see someone turn the corner and start toward me. And my first thought was, that's a zombie. That was my first thought, literally, because I hadn't seen some. And I thought, that's a zombie. My second thought was, I can deal with zombies, okay? I know how to deal with zombies, and I started looking around for something. And then my third thought was, Steve, come back to reality. It's just another guy. It's the first person you've seen in an hour, so don't freak out. But it was freaky. I mean, walking down the middle of the road with no traffic, that's crazy. That was what we were living through. And the early church was living through that and more, really. I think we need to appreciate what they were going through. But John says, put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in God. During the most difficult times in life, turn to God, turn to Jesus. They will be there. Trust in Jesus. And then my second point is, Don't lose hope. Look up. Don't lose hope. Look up. It says in 7 and 8, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Yes, so be it. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord. That means the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come, the all-powerful. It says, look up. Look up and see God. Look up and catch the vision that God has for your life. And God has a glorious vision for each of us. God wants us to mature as disciples. He wants to help us overcome sin in our lives and to break the chains of addiction in our lives. He wants to change our weaknesses into strengths. He wants to enable us to face our struggles with courage. And you know, everything I just said right there, that's just in this life. That's just in the here and now. He wants to give us victories now, but also there's the hereafter. And he wants to give us the greatest victory of all in the hereafter, to live with him forever. Sometimes we get so caught up in the immediacy of life that we forget to look up and be positive, to look up and live glorious victories in Jesus, to look up and see where our salvation is. Sometimes we forget to look up. So John reminds the readers about heaven at the end of Revelation. This is the second verse. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. One of the most encouraging passages in the Bible, okay, comes at the very end of the Bible. It says, John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had ceased to exist, and the sea existed no longer. Then I saw the holy city, the Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her groom. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, look, the residence of God is now among humanity. God will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And then here comes the crescendo. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will no longer exist. Mourning and wailing and pain will no longer exist because the former way of life has passed away. The one who sat on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I give to the thirsty a free gift, water from the spring of the water of life. The conquerors, the Christians, the disciples, those who stick with Jesus will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. I mean, how encouraging is that? It's such a wonderful future that we have in front of us. The residents of God will literally come down to the earth and will be with us, and we will live with God forever. No tears, no death, no mourning, no wailing, no pain. I mean, I could use that because I wake up every morning sore. You know, I could use waking up and just, whoa, this is like when I was 19 years old. This is awesome. No pain. Everything will be new. Imagine that. A freshness to life every day. And this is the second life. This is the next life. God will be with us in the present, but he's also going to be with us in the future. So let's look up. Let's look up. Let's be positive. Let's catch a vision of what God has in store for us in this life and in the next life. And let's walk with the presence of God in our lives every day. You know, I like to go into the woods and walk. I talk about this quite often. Ryan likes the same thing, except he's running. I'm walking. He's jumping over trees. I'm carefully stepping over any little thing that might be in my way. But it's just good to be out in nature, and it's good to walk, and I super enjoy it. But sometimes I find myself, especially if it's a difficult, tricky trail, I find myself looking down at the trail, actually looking for those branches or those rocks or any loose thing so that I don't trip. I find myself looking down and looking at the trail, and sometimes I walk about 5 minutes, and then I realize, you know what, Steve, you're missing the trees. You're missing the leaves. You're missing the animals. You're missing that deer over there, and you're missing that squirrel over there. And I saw, Lee and I were walking, we saw a black bear earlier in the year, which was pretty awesome, up on the ledge of the, or up on the hillside, you know, just going along, this black bear, and it was fantastic. It was glorious. But I find myself looking at the trail and then missing the glorious vista around me. And so I've tried to train myself. Steve, look up. Steve, look up. Steve, see the trees, see the greenery, see the sky, feel the sunshine. Steve, look up. And I think that's how we need to live our lives, because we get so caught up in looking at the trail and honestly looking at negativity and hearing negativity. And if you watch the news or read the news, you're going to get about 6 times as much negativity as anything positive. So that's just, studies have shown that. That you'll listen to the news and you're going to get negative, 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 and it gets stuck in there. And you know what? It takes about 6 times as much positive to get rid of it. Studies show that too. And so you have to really learn to look up, to focus on the positive. Get out of the trail and look up. So here's what I want to say just in closing the lesson today, all right? When life is troubled, look up. When life is sailing along beautifully, look up. When you doubt, decide to trust and look up. When you're tempted to be negative, choose the positive and look up. When sin comes knocking at your door, say no and look up. Look up today to brighten today and tomorrow. Look up with hope, look up with faith, look up with love. Jesus is victorious. He has already won the war. So look up. Look up and see the Alpha and the Omega in glory. Look up. Amen.